The next matter on our agenda is draft advisory opinion 2022-03, Democracy Engine LLC. We have Ms. Fillimer from the Office of General Counsel and Carol Lahan from Wiley Rye, who is counsel for the requesters, available to answer any questions. Counsel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners.
Morning, Council.
Before you are agenda documents 22-20-A, 22-20-A1, and 22-20-B, alternate draft advisory opinions responding to a request from Democracy Engine LLC. The requester asks whether a corporation not operating through a separate segregated fund, or SSF, may use the requester's web platform to solicit and track contributions from members of a corporation's restricted class to federal candidates and political committees, and whether corporations and their separate segregated funds may use the requester's web platform to solicit and track contributions from the general public to federal candidates and political committees. All drafts conclude, one, that the proposed activity is not prohibited corporate facilitation when conducted by a separate segregated fund. Two, that the proposal is not barred by the Act's prohibition on the sale or use of contributor data because the data would be obtained from Democracy Engine's records of payments it processes. And three, disclaimers are required on a customized page on the Democracy Engine platform available to the public. Draft A and revised Draft A both conclude that a corporation not acting through an SSF may not use Democracy Engine's platforms to solicit members of the restricted class or general public because Democracy Engine's corporate client would use the platform's contribution function to facilitate the making of contributions to candidates and political committees. Draft B concludes that a corporation not acting through an SSF may use Democracy Engine's platform to solicit members of the restricted class or the general public because Democracy Engine, not its corporate client, would provide the method of transmitting the contributions as a service to the individual contributors. We did not receive any comments on the draft. We received one comment on the request from the requesters, one comment on the draft from the requesters. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, is there any discussion or questions for counsel? Commissioner Cooksey.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Get us started, since we have counsel for the requester here, I would be interested in Ms. Lamb's thoughts on the drafts. I understand she submitted some written comments this morning, or at least I received them this morning, but to whatever extent she wants to provide additional comments or provide information for the commission, I'd be interested in hearing it.
Thank you very much. Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to address the requests submitted on behalf of Democracy Engine. Specifically, I do want to address the facts. Draft B properly understood the facts, whereas Draft A and its revised version do not properly understand the facts. We believe it's this misunderstanding that led to the diverging opinions. The facts are as follows. A company or its PAC can buy software from Democracy Engine, which enables the company to create a branded website identifying the candidates the company hopes that its restricted class employees or the general public, if the communications directed to the general public, will support. The software will also enable the company to obtain real-time information on who's responded to the company's suggestion to contribute to candidates endorsed by the candidate. By the company. Thus, the company or its PAC will know how much is raised through its communications, either to the restricted class or to the general public, without waiting for the information to become part of the public record. If an individual chooses to make a contribution or multiple contributions to candidates endorsed by the company, the individual will then contract with Democracy Engine in order to make the contributions, and will pay Democracy Engine a processing fee for its services. This service provided to individuals is fundamentally the same service approved by the Commission just last year in FEC Advisory Opinion 2021-07, PAC Management Services, and which the Commission explicitly said was not facilitation. Thus, Democracy Engine carefully conceived its offering to provide distinct services to the company and to the individuals making direct contributions to the candidates. And each party is paying for the services it receives. At no time does the company touch the money or underwrite in any way the making of the contributions. As a result, Draft B correctly understands that the company is not facilitating the making of any contributions. We therefore urge the Commission to adopt Draft B, and we're available for any further questions.
Thank you, Council. Commissioner Cooksey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for that presentation. I guess I have a few questions to clarify some of the facts that were provided in your request and to compare the services provided by Democracy Engine with the services provided by platforms like ActBlue and WinRed that you cite in your comments today. So I guess my first question is, how is the Democracy Engine, the user interface for people who receive these messages from the corporation, how is it different than a contributor or a potential contributor just going to WinRed or ActBlue? Is it better for the contributor, or is it the same? Do they pay the same fees? How is the Democracy Engine page different or the same as those other platforms?
So as I understand it, the fundamental difference is that through ActBlue and WinRed, you cannot contribute to multiple candidates at the same time. Whereas Democracy Engine allows you to check several boxes. If you want to contribute to five candidates, you can do that in a single transaction rather than five different transactions. So I think that's the fundamental difference between Democracy Engine and ActBlue or WinRed.
Commissioner Cooksey.
Are the fees the same that the contributor is subject to, such as credit card fees or processing fees?
Well, the fees are in the ordinary course of business, and you've already approved Democracy Engine's fee structure, and presumably you've already approved the ActBlue and WinRed fee structure. So, I mean, it's commercially normal fees.
Mr. Chairman, can you explain in further detail what exactly the corporations are, how they're paying Democracy Engine? Is it just a fee for the establishment of the website, and then they have a link to it, and it's a one-time payment, or how are payments made from the corporation to Democracy Engine?
I believe Democracy Engine initially pays an upfront fee for the establishment or for the purchase of the software, and then the company can create its own website based on what Democracy Engine has provided. But I don't think there are no ongoing fees for the service.
Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for some of the facts, but you made mention when you were comparing this to ActBlue or WinRed that a distinctive difference is that this would allow a contributor to give to multiple candidates at a single time, but those candidates are selected by the corporation. Is that correct?
Those are the candidates that would be, yes. The corporation is making a recommendation. They're not selected by the corporation. Corporation is making a recommendation that these are the individuals that we'd like you to contribute to, but the individuals are choosing whether or not to make the contributions. So if the corporation has, for instance, 10 candidates on its proposed list of endorsed candidates, an individual can choose to give to 1 or 10 or 0.
Or 11, but they can't go to 12 because you don't have 12 on there. You only have 11 or 10, whatever your number 10. Is. My point being is that they can only select what has been recommended by the corporation. Is that correct?
Those are the only ones available on the website. That's correct.
Thank you. Further question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. This one goes to where Commissioner Cooksey was headed towards. The corporation pays Democracy Engine for a fee for the service, but at all times, Democracy Engine is going to charge the customers the usual and normal rate for the fee. What is included in those costs for Democracy Engine? If you could explain that again. I know it's for a reasonable profit. No one is disputing that the structure has been consistent with others approved by the commission. But what exactly is paid by Democracy Engine? The corporation, and then what is paid by the individuals that are making contributions to the site?
So Democracy Engine charges the corporation for the software that enables the corporation to create a customized website that enables the corporation to identify the candidates who the corporation has endorsed. And on the back end, if an individual chooses to make a contribution, it allows the corporation to see in real time who has made contributions to the candidates. On the other hand, Democracy Engine charges the individuals for making the contributions. So if an individual chooses to make a contribution to the candidate, then the individual will be charged a processing fee consistent with the previous advisory opinion that the FEC gave to Democracy Engine. There's no change in how that part of the system works.
I'm going to ask the question I asked earlier, but in a slightly different form. Is there any benefit to the contributor to use the Democracy Engine platform versus one of the larger competitors like WinRed or ActBlue? Is there anything that's easier, better, simpler, or any reason a prospective contributor would prefer to use Democracy Engine over ActBlue or WinRed? Whether financial or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see it, the benefit to the contributor is that they can make contributions to multiple candidates at the same time. I think that's it. I'm trying to see if there. I think there's any other differences here. It's just that's it. You know, they can do it through the Democracy Engine function. They could do it through ActBlue. They could do it through WinRed. They all provide the same functionality to the contributor.
Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But the distinguishing thing is the same to the contributor, but it's really the corporation that we're looking at here. It's because the corporation is making the recommendations. The corporation also receives the benefit of then owning the data. Is that correct?
And I wasn't able to hear that exactly correct.
Then let me get closer to the mic. So we understand that the contributor gets the opportunity to select multiple individuals that are recommended by the corporation. Uh-huh. And you've already agreed to that. But then the corporation receives a real benefit because it gets to collect the data and owns the data relating to who made the corporation.
Well, pursuant to the FEC regulations, the corporation can make a communication to its restricted class on any subject whatsoever. And a corporation can endorse only certain candidates. And that's what's happening here. Well, it's endorsing certain candidates.
That wasn't a disagreement at all. I just want to confirm that the benefit seems to be weighing more for the corporate entities that purchase or go through Democracy Engine as opposed to the contributors. The contributors can only select what the corporation recommends.
The contributors select, yes, the candidates. I mean, they do or they don't, but that's always the case with a communication of this sort.
Commissioner Cooksey. Thank you. I guess, you know, to sort of get down to brass tacks and looking at the relevant regulation, the issue seems to be how we analogize 114.2F to the internet, right? And 1.14.2F, Roman 2, prohibits providing materials for the purpose of transmitting or delivering contributions such as stamps, envelopes, address to a candidate, political committee, other than the corporation or labor organizations, SSF, or other similar items that would assist in transmitting or delivering contributions, but not including providing the address. And your argument is that Democracy Engine is basically a address aggregation collection service, right? It's creating a list of quote unquote addresses, web addresses or portals for you to make the contributions. And if the regulation contemplates providing address, obviously it probably contemplates some costs associated with collecting and categorizing and printing out a piece of paper with a list of addresses that you could give to prospective contributors. What I'm trying to understand is there anything else to the contributors that is being provided that is lowering the transaction costs for them making these contributions? Are their fees subsidized? Is it a better, easier interface? Are there other things that are making them have a better, easier, simpler, cheaper experience than if, for example, the corporation just sent them an email with a list of WinRed links or ActBlue links or whatever the case may be? So any information you can clarify on that would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, there is no... there's no underwriting of the cost to the contributor. It's not going to be cheaper to the contributor to do that. They're going to pay the same fees they would pay if they went to the Democracy Engine site or if they went to any other site that is a processing site, which is what Democracy Engine is doing for these contributors. They're processing a direct contribution to a candidate. So they're not getting a cheaper fee because they're using the Democracy Engine site.
Sure. I guess I'd like to ask policy whether they agree with that characterization or whether what if any benefit they think is being provided to the prospective contributors through the creation of these Democracy Engine, you know, websites, customized websites for the corporation.
So I think that the benefit to the contributor is the same as the benefit of any web processing service to make contributions. I'll let the requesters counsel clarify. They might also say that they're providing an informational service to the contributors and that to the extent the contributor wants to know who the corporation endorses and wants to make contributions to those individuals, that's a distinct service that they're getting here. Obviously, that's also a service to the corporation.
A clarifying question then. If a corporation prints out a list of addresses for political committees and says, these are addresses of political committees that we support if you want to send them contributions, is that corporate facilitation?
No.
Thanks.
Thank you. Colleagues, further questions? I have one. I've followed this discussion with interest. One of the downsides of being chair is you kind of have to step back for a second. But my remaining question goes to something that Commissioner Broussard alluded to, which is the owning of the data on the back end. And I guess my question is that just part of the provision of the data in real time to the corporation, is that part of the software license, or is there additional marginal costs to the corporation and benefit to your client from the provision of that information?
I believe it's part of the software license that the company is paying for. And I'd also like to mention that both ActBlue and WinRed, to my understanding, allow the real-time data as well. So this is all already a functionality that's being provided by these other services.
Thank you. Colleagues? Well, I just lost my screen. So if anyone is dialing in remotely is seeking recognition, they may wish to do so vocally.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Traynor.
Thank you. If we have these two divergent advisory opinions for you, what is the effect of us having a split vote 3-3 on each of those, or on one of those? What effect does that have for you?
I mean, a 3-3 opinion is that neither one has been adopted by the commission. I mean, there's really not much more to it than that.
Perfect. So given that we got your I didn't get your comments until literally minutes before we came on, and I appreciate the presentation that you've given this morning, but and policy can give me the exact date, but I know we need to get you an answer soon. Would you mind giving us a little more time in order to get to a consensus answer for you, instead of having these two divergent answers?
Well, yes, I don't mind giving you additional time. I had checked with my client beforehand in the event that you were going to ask for that. And we can give you additional time to come up with a consensus opinion. But we do believe that draft B accurately represents the facts and provides the correct analysis. And we'd urge you to adopt draft B at this time.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thanks to counsel for remarkable foresight. Is there any further discussion, motions, or requests?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cooksey.
If counsel's amenable, I would ask to hold this over and for policy to seek an appropriate extension.
I would support that request. Counsel, how much time's on the clock?
So the current deadline is June 14th. So would you like us to ask for a 2-week extension?
We will endeavor to get you an answer by our next meeting, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your attendance. Appreciate it. It's one of the better parts of the job.
The
next matter. Thank you again. Thank you to OGC.